Raquel Goldenberg is a rabbi of a congregation in Connecticut and co-chair of Rabbis for Human Rights North America. The organization, founded in 2002, addresses issues of concern in the U.S., such as the torture of American-held prisoners, the rise of Islamophobia, and protecting the rights of farm workers. The group also raises financial support for the Rabbis for Human Rights Israeli chapter. The organization in Israel works to protect Palestinian rights and access to their land in accordance with Israeli Supreme Court decisions, supports the rights of Bedouins living in Israel's Negev desert, opposes evictions and home demolitions of Palestinian families living in East Jerusalem, protects the rights of foreign workers inside Israel, and sponsors educational programs that connect Jewish values to human rights. The group believes in and supports the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, taking a lesson from the Jewish experience during the Nazi Holocaust that the human rights of all who are oppressed must be defended. Rabbi Goldenberg recently spoke at the Joseph Sifka Center for Jewish Life at Yale University. After her talk, she spoke with Between the Lines' Melinda Tuhus about her work with Rabbis for Human Rights.
They have projects in the territories, specifically in the West Bank, mostly around access of Palestinian farmers to their agricultural land, working with the Israeli military administration to enforce the court rulings that we won a few years ago that protect Palestinian farmers' rights to work their land and to be free from harassment of settlers. So another big project that Rabbis for Human Rights is involved with in Israel is the issue of unrecognized Bedouin villages in the Negev. There's been state policy for many, many years of not recognizing encampments of Bedouin communities that have been in the same place for a very long time. We often think about nomads. We think, oh, they don't really have a place where they live, but they do. They settle in a place, and they establish cemeteries, for instance. So since the founding of the state, this has been an issue with those villages not being recognized, therefore not receiving utilities and schools and other kinds of services in their villages. And then there have been many iterations of different kinds of policies over the years. One was, they're called by the human rights community really townships, towns set up, but they say townships because that evokes poverty and slum, and that's what they are. Towns set up where the government would then put the Bedouins, where they have no place to graze their animals and, you know, have
so become, they're forcibly
so
removed.
They're forcibly removed, yes. There's different levels of force, right? I mean, if you're not getting the services you need and you're not getting, it's hard to get your kids to school because you don't have a school in your community, it's easier then maybe to move to one of these slums where
they provide schools in the slums?
Yes. Yes, I mean, these are recognized towns that have everything. You know, they have utilities, they have paved roads, they have schools. But it means that the heritage of Bedouin life and their roots are being uprooted.
To ask the obvious, I guess, if these people have been there all the time since before the State of Israel was created and then Israel was created and they're still there, they're among the Arab Israelis, and other Arab Israelis have services and schools and everything. Why haven't these been recognized?
We don't really know, right? I mean, there are interests. It's not in the interest of the state. There have been various reasons given over the years. You know, they'll say it's a closed military zone, or they'll say maybe it's to make way for other kinds of development and other kinds of planning. It's hard to say.
The other thing that I think has been in the news a lot here is issues around the ultra-Orthodox in Israel, especially, you know, demanding that women, you know, basically not be seen or move away from the ultra-Orthodox men. They were men in the military who left some kind of a gathering when women started to sing because they said they weren't allowed to hear a woman's voice and all this stuff. So how does that play out in Israel, I guess, and also in the Jewish community here when you work with your Rabbis for Human Rights here?
Rabbis for Human Rights does not deal directly with issues of religious pluralism in Israel. So there are other wonderful organizations that do. The Israel Religious Action Center and the New Israel Fund, for instance. It's really an issue of religious extremism in the Jewish community in Israel. And that even, you know, the ultra-Orthodox, we can't generalize and say that they all actually agree with these policies of segregation of the sexes, just like you can't say that all Muslims agree with veiling women from head to toe. It's really an extremist group that intimidates its own people. If you live in that community, which is a very insular, self-regulated community, and you speak out against segregation of the sexes, your kids could be kicked out of yeshiva. You could be told the community will cut you off, or you can't live in your apartment anymore. I mean, truly, kind of breaking away from the fold in any kind of public way is dangerous. It's risky. So that's sort of how the extremists operate in that community, through this kind of intimidation. There are moderates in that community. There are people in that community who disagree with the rabbis and the extremists who are making these policies. They're having a hard time safely making their voices heard.
That was Raquel Goldenberg, co-chair of Rabbis for Human Rights North America. Learn more about the group by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.